This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Allergy season is on its way and you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Save $200 on the 3-Pack. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code Howie3 to order.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. It is Friday Junior here at the Howie Carr Radio Networks, and I'm so excited to be here. I'm so excited that everyone's tuning in and weighing in on all the important conversations we're having. Something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago was that we talked to a bar owner, Chris DeFelice, from Dirty Water, D.C., and he told us that he was boycotting the Olympics in his bar. And based off the ratings we have received from those from said Olympics, it would appear that Chris was not alone. A lot of people were boycotting the Olympics. Chris, thank you so much for joining us yet again. We love having you on the show.
Grace, you brought me back. I must have done something right the first time. Thanks for having me.
You absolutely did. Now, Chris, the first question I have for you, and I know you've seen this story because you were talking with my producer about it a little while ago. Were you surprised to find out, and I think I know your answer, but were you surprised to find out that China had asked Russia to hold off on their invasion into Ukraine until after the Beijing Olympics?
I am definitely not Nick the New Guy here. This is so obvious to me. What's going on with these two? So was talking to a couple of buddies about this the other night as things were developing. And here is the analogy that everybody needs to understand. Okay, Putin and Russia, that's the underboss of this mafia organization. Xi is Tony Soprano. Okay, what's going on in the Ukraine is horrible. Putin needs to be held responsible. But this is not where it ends. It's not just this. This is not isolated. We must keep our eyes on what's going on with China. Because guess what? Taiwan is next on the list. That's what's coming. We have to see that, okay? And no, I'm not surprised. It was the Chinese Olympics. They didn't want to have to deal with a war so they could attempt some sort of television ratings, which clearly they did not get on this side of the world. But no, I'm not surprised. This is the most obvious play ever.
One of the reasons I loved having you on, Chris, was because you were very honest about how you understand why it's kind of easy for Americans to be willfully ignorant about what's happening in China and kind of, you know, blocking all of that stuff off. Sometimes it feels like people just say, well, you know, and people kind of compartmentalize and they try to ignore the human rights violations that are so pervasive in China. But you think that time has come to an end where people need to stand up, people need to make a difference. And I wanted to read you a couple of headlines here, okay? Because a lot of people are virtue signaling right now. A lot of people are making a stance against Russia. And as someone who has made a stance against China, I want to get your reaction from these, okay? NBA pulls all business from Russia amid invasion of Ukraine. Apple's decision to stop selling products in Russia puts pressure on other smartphone makers. Nike halts online sales in Russia. Now, you just talked about China invading Taiwan and, you know, whether or not that's going to happen. Do you think these same companies will be as strong against this kind of violence if it's China instead of Russia?
Not if it affects their marketplace, they won't. They're going to turn a blind eye. It is so much easier to go after Russia right now for our side of the world because it's Europe. We're familiar with Europe. We deal with them on a regular basis. It's a pretty short flight to get to Europe. So seeing Ukraine under attack and seeing them fight back and cheering for them through television, it's easy to deal with something that we really don't see. Because it's behind the curtain. China's behind the curtain. We don't see it as Americans. We're not accustomed to it. So what's not stuck in our face, and I'm not blaming any of us. Last time I was on, I was the same. I had the same blinders on. I didn't know until, you know, honestly, Enos Kanter woke my eyes up a couple of years ago with everything with the NBA and, you know, everything we discussed a couple of weeks back. But I had no idea what was really going on in China, and I still really don't. I don't think any of us do. But, yeah, just to, like, sit there and point the finger at Putin, yes, he deserves every finger pointed at him. But that is not the only finger. And if we're going to sit here as Nike and the NBA and Apple and just sit there, well, we're no longer going to deal business in Russia. Well, thanks, because you don't really make a whole lot of money in Russia compared to what you make with China anyway. So it's fake. It's false. The finger pointing, it's useless.
Yeah, and you just said we don't know everything that happens in China, and that might be true, but a lot of people, and yourself included, at least know what kind of dangerous government we are dealing with. And last week, news broke that U.S. officials were actually giving China intelligence about Russia invading Ukraine, and the Chinese officials took that intel and gave it to Russia. I mean, I know you downplay, Chris, and you say, you know, I don't know everything that's going on, but don't you think that the people who are running the United States should have a better sense of what they're dealing with? If you and I both can say we're dealing with the Chinese Communist Party is dangerous. We know that. Don't you think Joe Biden and his cabinet of the best and brightest should know that? They're going in there like negotiating in good faith, and they give them all this information, and China turns right around and gives it to Russia.
What did she call Biden? My old friend? Was that not the comment some time back on their little video screen, their little Zoom call?
Something like
that.
Come
on. Yeah, Tito, we don't know what's going on. Look, during the Olympics, and I did my little research before I came on with you today, just a couple of bullet points. During the Olympics, China and Russia signed a new 30-year deal for a gas pipeline through the Russian company Gazprom that's going to provide 10 billion cubic meters per year of gas to China. That's coming on the heels in 2019 of the deal they signed with Siberia Pipeline, which provides 16 billion cubic meters of oil from Russia to China. Are we don't know this is happening. We're not aware of any of this. Oh, and we decided to close our own Keystone Pipeline. I mean, come on. Like, What bothers me about all of this is I don't know what bothers me more, that it's happening or that we just don't want to know that it's happening. I think that's the part that drives me nuts, that our media won't cover these stories that are pretty easy to cover. It's pretty obvious. There's numbers behind it. There's dollars behind it. I heard you about an hour and a half ago say, follow the money. I swear I always say that. If you ever want to know what goes on in the world and where power lies, follow the money. China has the money. China's got the best game in town. Their labor is free, okay? That's what slavery is. It's free labor. Labor costs are the most expensive part of any business. Well, when you have free labor and everybody else has to pay for theirs, guess what? They've got the best game going in town. So for us to sit here and blindly, oh, let's just get Putin. He's doing everything. This is awful. I mean, he is. It's awful. It's sick. But he's a pawn. Xi's the guy. Think about it. When our police are on the streets going after the local drug dealers, okay? Are they really going after the guy in the street selling the dollar dime bags or the $10 dime bags or whatever it is? Or are they trying to find out who's the kingpin of this whole thing? We've got to go after the kingpin. The kingpin is China. The kingpin is not Russia. They're the underboss.
There's another part of this that drives me crazy. You were just talking about how, you know, Americans don't want to know this and how our media doesn't want to tell us this. But part of this that really grinds my gears is the fact that we have these Democrats who are telling us all these things they're going to do. They're going to solve crime. They're, you know, eventually, once they confiscate everyone's guns, they're going to bring down the earth temperature to solve global warming. And then you bring up something like what's happening with energy right now. And you say, all right, are we going to open up some American drilling? We're going to open up the Keystone Pipeline. And suddenly there's no solution. Suddenly they say, oh, that would take years, or oh, it's not that easy. It's complicated. And when we had Trump in office, what he made very clear is some of this stuff is easy. Some of this stuff is very basic. Like, you want to be energy independent. You don't want to have to rely on Russia or other places to give you your oil. And they want to complicate this, but it's not that complicated. And sometimes when I look at what we're doing here in this country and I look at the decisions that our leaders are making, and I'm sure you feel this way, Chris, when you look at how we deal with China, it starts to feel like we're on a little bit of a suicide mission.
I think it was John Kerry last week. I don't know if he was on TV or a print article, but I know I read the quote where as Putin is bombing Ukraine, I think this was like the first or second night of the military activity, his comment was, "I hope President Putin doesn't lose sight of our environmental goals." That was the comment from John Kerry as people are dying from bombs. That's what our leadership is projecting. I mean, like, get it together, people, or try to, or are you intentionally not getting it together? What's the story here? I want to know.
No, and that's something that people ask me all the time, including my mom. Whenever we talk about things like this, my mom goes, "I just don't get the end game. I just don't understand what their end game is." Chris, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people follow you on Twitter? We'll definitely have you on again soon. I have a feeling China and Russia and all of this is going to be in the news for quite some time. Give people your Twitter handle and where they can check out your bar.
Everything is at DirtyWaterDC. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Snapchat, we're everywhere, at Dirty Water DC. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Chris. That's Chris DeFelice from Dirty Water DC. He boycotted the Olympics a few weeks ago at his bar, and I'm telling you, based off the ratings, like I said, he was not alone in that endeavor. A lot of people decided. I don't know if it was an intentional boycott. It's almost like Howie boycotting the Oscars. It's just something that happens naturally every year. But people were not tuning in for that. Before you know it, allergy season will be here. And if you struggle with that season, you need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. We've talked a lot about odors, but we haven't talked a lot about allergy season. One user writes, "I bought the Thunderstorm Air Purifier for my son who has allergies. Since installing it in his room, he has had a lot less problems, and he says the air smells cleaner. It's a great product for the price." Well, right now you can get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. So you'll have one for every floor, or you could put one in your car, right, Jared?
Yeah, I like to keep one in my car because when I'm driving around with the windows down, you know, pollen gets in the car. Or if you're sitting on the highway, you've got those weird wild plants that look like weeds or something. You don't know what they are. But if you have the Thunderstorm in your car, which you can do because it comes with the cable, you just plug it into the unit. You plug that cable into your USB port in your car, and you turn it on, and it starts ionizing the air, sending out the ions, which creates the super oxygen, just like it does at home, and helps eliminate all that pollen in the air and other allergens. And, you know, it also gets rid of odors and even some viruses.
So go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE3 for the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You're not going to find a better deal than this. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE3. When we get back, Joe Biden is telling his favorite Valentine's Day story that he thinks is about Thanksgiving, as we get closer to St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
That sounded a little wonky, but I think you'll enjoy it. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I just had an interview with Chris DeFelice from Dirty Water, D.C., and he mentioned we were talking about labor costs, we were talking about slave labor and how in China they don't pay their workers anything and that's why they can make such a profit. And speaking of that, it made me think of a cut from the State of the Union that didn't get a lot of play because, let's be honest, when you're competing against cuts like uranium and whatever else Joe Biden was screaming about, some of the other cuts get lost. But this moment,
go get him,
where Joe Biden was talking about inflation and the economy, and you could really tell in this moment, this is a guy, when I played this cut, just keep this in mind, this is a guy who you can tell has never run a business, has never run a lemonade stand, let alone a business. Take a listen.
One way to fight inflation is to drive down wages and make Americans poorer. I think I have a better idea to fight inflation. Lower your costs, not your wages.
He doesn't understand how any of this works. I'm not even a business savvy person, and I could tell you that that's not how business works. Lower your costs. It's just that simple. AJ, you're next. Go ahead, AJ.
Yeah. Jane Psaki just said that it's up to the DOJ to take up the charges of the January 6th commission regarding insurrection charges against Donald J. Trump, while at a time the wholesale computer fraud was actually, the evidence thereof was destroyed the night of the election. This brings us to the more important point about looking ahead in 22. Yes, we are going to have observers in each station, but what about having counterintelligence cyberspace experts to oversee the computers?
Yeah, I don't even know if I would trust that. I don't know. I think that is everyone's primary concern right now, besides, you know, right now, Ukraine and Russia and all of these other current events and these catastrophes are worrying people. But when it comes to voters, their number one concern is election integrity. But I did want to comment on, AJ, that January 6th story that is just taking Twitter by storm. Besides Ron DeSantis telling those kids they don't have to wear a mask, the second biggest story of the day is this bombshell. The walls are finally closing in on Donald Trump. It only took them 5 years, but they've got it. Now, here's the headline from AP. January 6th panel sees evidence of Trump criminal conspiracy. This January 6th panel, this blue ribbon commission full of the best and brightest like Nancy Pelosi and Eric Swalwell, they're at it again. But I want to read you a little paragraph that you might have missed if you're reading the AP story. And this might put a little damper on Jennifer Rubin's day, on the Trump deranged, never Trumpers. They might be bummed out by this. The 221-page filing marks the committee's most formal effort to link the former president to a federal crime, though the actual import of the filing is not clear. Lawmakers do not have the power to bring criminal charges on their own and can only make a referral to the Justice Department. The department has been investigating last year's riots, but it has not given any indication that it is considering seeking charges against Trump. Oh, not another nothing burger. I can't eat any more of these. I'm stuffed. I'm stuffed from all these nothing burgers. All right, I do this every time, Jared. I still don't think we have time for the Valentine's Day cut. You know what, though? We might have time for a little bit of yelling. Here's a little bit of Joe Biden yelling. Cut five, please.
Don't tell me we can't be a manufacturing center again. We can. We have to keep the story going.
This was Joe Biden talking about Build Back Better in Wisconsin. He wants to hit the ground running. Cut seven.
We already had the ground run. We hit the ground running, announcing $100 billion in new investments.
He's talking about all of these things that we have been told over and over again are not going to happen as far as Build Back Better goes. And by the way, they're changing it. Did you hear that? They're rebranding. It's Building a Better America, Jen Psaki told the reporters.
Wow.
Today.
What a switch.
Build Back.
Totally fooling everyone.
Build Back Better wouldn't catch on. You know what the weird thing about the Biden administration is, Jared, is they have tried so hard to come up with a slogan. And Democrats do struggle with the slogans. Hillary Clinton struggled too. She couldn't really come up with anything. And yet the slogans that really end up defining their either candidacies or their administrations are usually made by Republicans.
Like, true and international effort to pressure.
That's one of them. That never caught on. But one of them for Joe Biden that caught on was Let's Go Brandon. Let's Go Brandon. When you think of Joe Biden, do you think Let's Go Brandon? When you think of Hillary Clinton, that's another one. Trump gave her best slogan. Lock her up. And they try with these, I'm with her, or build back better, or building
up. Joe Brandon, I agree.
You don't see a lot of hats out there. You know, you occasionally still see a MAGA hat. Have you ever seen a BBB hat, a build back better hat, building a better America, a Baba hat? I don't think you're going to see those. They just, I guess because it doesn't ring true for people. 844-500-4242. Journalism in the news. When we come back, we've got an expert from MSNBC telling us all about the Constitution. You know the thing. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right. I just got word from my producer that there is quite a breaking news story. It's from OutKick. I don't know how I'm even going to read it. I don't know if I should wait and find out more. Maybe I'll just wait on this. It's about Lori Lightfoot. Jared, can you give us just the headline, maybe?
I can't give the headline, but OutKick picked this up. The Chicago Tribune has analyzed a lawsuit where Mayor Lori Lightfoot was berating her staff over the Columbus statue. And Mayor Lightfoot, the female mayor of Chicago, was bragging about her, I'm trying to think of how to put this, the, let's say, an endowment that she has, which was bigger than most of the Italians in Chicago, and we'll just kind of put it that way.
That's going to take people a second, but I think they'll get
there. It's a little vulgar. When your mind goes to the gutter, that's where it should go on this one.
Yeah, if you thought the old man in the sea was bad, right? this story will really blow your mind.
This outdoes the sexy fishes.
Yes, it does. All right. Well, we'll try to report more on that, but I really just want to sit down and read it all.
This requires some analyzation and some research.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sit down and...
And a measuring tape, apparently.
Put on my reading glasses and just kind of try to get through it. Now, I have been teasing this Biden cut for a while. He loves to tell a story about Valentine's Day. But, you know, every day is Valentine's Day if you're Joe Biden. And if you're in love with your Dr. Jilly Bean and you're having PDA and you're holding hands and picking daisies out of the ground.
It's all about round-the-clock sex.
Every day is Valentine's Day. And in turn, every day is also all the other holidays that you confuse with Valentine's Day. Like every day is Valentine's Day / Thanksgiving. So don't ask me why he brings this story out at the strangest times. He decides while he's talking about Build Back Better to tell this long story about Valentine's Day. It runs 2 minutes. I don't know if I'm going to put people through that, but I promised a little bit of it. So here is Joe Biden talking about Valentine's / Thanksgiving Day.
When Jill and I met and fell in love, she let me know her favorite day in the calendar was Valentine's Day. The first Valentine's Day that we were together when I was vice president. The vice president's office faces the Eisenhower building, a big granite building you see on the other side of the White House.
Pause it for a sec.
And there's...
You know what's so sad is, like, I oftentimes think of how much information is in my mind that is pointless. And I would say a solid 50% of my mind at this point are these dumb stories that Joe Biden's told. Like, I know where this is going. I have not heard this clip. And I know this story inside and out. She taped hearts to the window so that he saw them when he walked in his office. Why do I know that, Jared? It's not even funny. It's not cute. There's nothing interesting about it. And yet, it's burned into my mind because he's told it so many times. At least with the towel hotel motel story.
What's that all about?
That one was a little bit like, ooh, I didn't know where this was going. It was a little bit risque, you know? Watch out, Lori Lightfoot. He's got a towel on, motel, hotel. Who knows what's going to happen next? But with this story, with the windows and the hearts and the Valentine's Day and Dr. Jill, it's just boring. All right, continue.
Triple set of stairs coming down from that building. And they look right in the vice president's office as you come down. And the press comes down that way all the time. And so the night before this Thanksgiving, this Valentine's Day, the first one, Jill got, as a typical professor-teacher form, she got the maintenance guys to bring up a 16-foot ladder. And on, I think there are a total of I don't know, 19 panes of each in each window.
Oh my gosh. Pause. You know what we need to do? We need to do a little bit of Gene Curley here. This is what my mom used to do. When we were younger, if you said like at the dinner table a lot, you know, like my friend said, and then like my mom would go, eh, to try to get us out of the habit of saying it. It was very annoying. And you'd be like, mom, stop. But she knew that if she did that, we need to put the eh on the extraneous details. If he starts saying details,
it's going to be one big beep. It's going to sound like a Laurie Lightfoot screed about
just a sensor. I don't know why I need to know the location of the staircase, the amount of window panes, the direction of the building. For someone who,
there's a crack in the concrete, which you step on crack, you never go back.
You break your mother's back.
Mom, because moms are Thanksgiving.
The level of detail for this one story. If he could only use this
meanwhile,
detail.
He can't remember the name of his SCOTUS appointee.
I know.
But this could be, honestly, I don't want to play psychoanalyst. This could be a dementia or something like that type of short-term memory tends to be a problem for people who are experiencing dementia. Long-term details, they seem to remember more.
And that's all well and good, and I'm not trying to make fun of that or anything, but it's just, someone's got to say land the plane. And can you imagine how Jill feels when she's hearing the story again? She's like, oh God, no. Oh dear Lord. Oh no, where's he going with this? Not the Valentine's Day story. She probably regrets every day that she did that. Damn, Jill. Why'd you have to be such an overachiever and get that ladder? He won't shut up about it.
It's a 16-foot ladder.
Are we even halfway through?
We actually are just under halfway through.
Oh, great. All right, keep going.
And with that erasable paint you can have, she put a heart in every single of the four windows, saying, Joe loves Jill. And that night, my press guy got a call from CBS Morning News. Would I be on CBS Morning News to talk about Valentine's Day? He said, you ought to do it. So I did, and while we're getting ready in the office, all the lights are down, and I think I've told my colleagues in the House, the Senate, this story. While there is dark, they're
Mercy,
fixing the
lights. I can't. Where is this going? Where is this going? Please make this
now,
stop.
Now, my story begins in 1962. We had to say dickety, because the Kaiser had stolen our Wear 20. I chased that rascal to get it back, but gave up after dickety 6 miles.
I will say the audience, wherever he is, this was in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, yeah.
Very, very friendly, very lively. Was there a 2-drink minimum for this? Because they are laughing it up. You know what he should do?
And some Valen-giving cocktails, I think.
Yeah, when he knows that he has such a warm audience, he's got to trot out that dog story. You know, that thing kills. Literally. No, I'm just kidding. But that story about the dog on the front porch, that is his best stuff. That is his A-plus material. He's got to try it on this audience. They're laughing at this. All right, we're almost done. Are we basically done with it?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Yeah. We got the gist.
We got all
was
the
there, was there
important
some twist at
details.
The end? I don't want to miss it, Jared. Was there some big twist at the end, or did it just kind of...
Hang on a second. Let me rack it.
You know, it happens. These stories kind of just... They just trickle out, you know? They just kind of fade out into the background. Now, speaking...
While we're getting ready in the office, all the lights are down, and I think I've told my colleagues in the House, the Senate, this story. While there is dark, they're fixing the lights, and I'm sitting knee to knee with a woman named Juju Chang, who used to be work for CBS. And while they're fixing the lights, she looks at me, she says, everybody says you and your wife have a great love affair. And I said, I think so. And I said, but everybody knows I love her more than she loves me. And she responded, my word, that's what everybody says.
Great story.
This is a
live and rich. He really brought that one home.
He did.
Has Juju Chang been reached for comment? That Juju Chang is a real journalist. That is a real person. It's not a made-up name. Has she been reached for comment on this story?
Jared, it was just the end got me, you know? I've heard it so many times before, but the seventh time is the charm when he says, you know, I love her more than she loves me.
I said, I think so. And I said, but everybody knows I love her more than she loves me. And she responded, my word. That's what everybody says.
Let's talk about the my word thing, because nothing about this story is mind-blowing enough for me not to believe what you're saying. Like, there's no part of this story where I go, you're lying. That's way too exciting and gripping and captivating. That can't be true. It's like you're talking about cutting up hearts.
No, a 16-foot ladder? No!
She cut up paper hearts and used tape and taped them to the window?
5 windows? Does such a place even exist?
19 window panes?
How? The whole thing is windows. Oh, Joe, you scamp.
Joey, baby. They don't call him Amtrak Joe for nothing. Hey, by the way, we're talking about Joe Biden. We should talk a little bit about Ron Klain. I mentioned this earlier. Ron Klain did an interview. He usually spends all his time retweeting Jennifer Rubin, but he took a break from that. He took a 5-minute break. He did an interview. Went about as well as you would expect for Biden's chief of staff right now. And let's take a listen. He's trying to convince us, as is everyone in this Joe Mamala administration, that everything is great, that Joe Biden is the picture of health, and there's nothing to worry about. Here is Ron Klain.
How do you deal with the fact that he's, you know, older than anybody's ever been to be president of the United States?
Well, he's definitely in better shape than I am, that's for sure. He's very fit. He works out almost every day in the morning before he comes down to the Oval Office. And I think the American people saw for themselves last night.
He went on to say he spoke for over an hour, which is what Howie and I mentioned, that, you know, he did an hour, 1 minute and 50 seconds. All right, let's play the next one.
They saw him hold the longest press conference in the history of presidents a couple weeks ago at the start of the year, a 2-hour press conference where he took questions from all kinds of reporters. So I think his fitness, his vigor is beyond question. People see him on the job every day. And then what they see is a person who's fully capable of doing the job, fully vigorous and great mental and physical health, and taking on the burdens of the office and executing them well.
True international effort to pressure.
What we've seen is a man who forgets people's names, is very confused, fell asleep at a global warming summit, which he claimed was very important, and walks into bushes. That is what we see. All right, a man who walks on the beach by himself with his dog with a mask on.
Gracie, you just sound like you are genetically incapable of being happy on this one.
Amen.
You can't see all the good stuff.
By the way,
that jolting Joe Biden is doing.
By the way, Jared, he talks about that 2-hour press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember that 2-hour press conference. I remember it because Joe Biden said that a minor incursion, if Russia had a minor incursion into Ukraine, wouldn't be, you know, too big of a deal or whatever he said about it. I remember minor incursion where he basically greenlit an invasion by Putin into Ukraine. And so I do remember that, but at least it was the longest one on record.
At least 28 minutes of that press conference was his brain trying to figure out what to say, because there were a lot of pauses and silences and derailments and mumbles in that press conference.
I would honestly, though, I would take silence over the extraneous detail. That's what tires me the most, is when he starts trying to remember, you know, was there 5 people in the room or was there 6?
Look, every day he climbs a rope and lifts huge triangular iron weights and rides a bicycle with one big wheel and one small wheel right before he comes down to the Oval Office.
But why are we pretending as though what we're worried about is his physical fitness? We're worried about his mental fitness. And I think Ron Klain knows that. By the way, Jared, can we do a really quick journalism in the news? I only really want to play one cut here.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like
being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change their reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
Ellie Mistall, or is it Eli? Eli?
Cares. I don't know.
He was on WPIX New York, and he's usually on MSNBC, and he was talking about the Constitution, and I need to play this for everyone, because I always say when Democrats want to use the Constitution, when Trump is, you know, causing a constitutional crisis, when our Constitution is at stake, they love, you know, the thing that's written on the paper. They love the, you know, the thing. But when things aren't going their way, when the midterms look like they're going to be,
you know, the thing,
just a shellacking for Democrats, these progressives turn on the Constitution. And I wanted to play you this cut of Eli Mistall talking about the thing. Cut 18.
Are you arguing that the Constitution needs to be scrapped altogether?
Sure, but I don't think that's going to happen. Like, yeah. like, if we could throw that out and start over with a new document that was more inclusive of everybody, that was written by everybody, at no point have black people, brown people, or women had a say in actually writing the Constitution or the amendments to that Constitution. If we could throw that out and have a delegation of all Americans to write a new one, I would be all for that. Okay. That's what they did in South Africa. You know, when they got rid of apartheid, they didn't like tax some amendments onto their apartheid constitution. They threw their apartheid constitution out and they started over.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen here. And so instead of that, what I'm really advocating for is that we interpret our constitution so that we extend justice and fairness and equality to all, as opposed to whatever the heck we do now.
There's not a day that goes by that I'm not grateful we have a constitution. And that it was written by the founding fathers, and that they were such geniuses and they knew human nature so well. But I will say, if we are going to draft up a new one, can we make sure that the writers of the new constitution, the woke constitution, I want them all to be from CNN and MSNBC University. I want them to draft up the new constitution. Brian Stelter will be signing the bottom of it. Perfect. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere.
That's the truth.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Joining me now for the car crossover is Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, give people a little sneak peek of what they can expect on your show today.
I think we'll talk about Pete Buttigieg, and he doesn't want to sully his hands with the short-term solutions like reopening the Keystone Pipeline. Thank you, Pete. Thanks for thinking of me and everybody else.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we have Pete on the case. He handled the supply chain crisis so well, and now he can figure this out. What can he do?
Yeah, we also have a lot of politicians being arrested, indicted, forced to resign, not seek re-election. I'm gonna go down the whole list.
Perfect.
Early on in the show.
All right, everyone. Howie's got a great show planned. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back tomorrow for our Friday show. This is the Grace Curley Show.